QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6-2, net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. For more information about the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, please go to www.bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. A lot of good information there about the club and how to join. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, basically no I'll get that out right. Okay, no announcements here either. And the topic, got a couple of different things we're going to look at this evening from the May issue. One of them is there's a 2-meter, build-it-yourself, 80-watt linear amp, kind of pretty cool thing that can be done when the circuit board's available through a source, as Matt mentioned here in the article. Pretty simple parts and shouldn't be much to do. And also, we have another article in here about digital modes for your software-defined radio. And we'll touch base on that, too. So, anyway, first, let's do our roster. And starting out with WB6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody on the Tech Tuesday Net. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there again. And how about WB6CIN City?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Good signal from Placentia. How about KA6CIA George? Hey, nothing out there from George. Let's see if we got KE6RJ and KE6QI. Are they out there from Sugarloaf? Yeah, nothing heard. How about KJ6HCS Mike? Yeah, nothing heard from Mike. How about WA6I?
I think that's me, but your audio went away. WA6ITC and Lake Williams.
I'm sorry, Rod. What was the... You say you can't hear me.
Your audio went away.
Oh, that's the repeater. We need to get up there and fix that. So, anyway, all right. Thanks for being out there, Rod. Appreciate you checking in this evening. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Next I have KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDL here. KDK's in the background. I'm feverishly reading up on the 2-meter linear right now.
All right, good deal there, Jim. Glad to have you out there. And Rosemary, too. Let's see here. Next I have is KI6IQA Kelly.
Oh, yes, sir. KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Glad to have you out there. How about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? Nothing out there from Steve. How about K6GVL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is K6GVL Ron, Green Valley Lake, and still got interference. And maybe we can talk about that sometime.
Okay, Ron. Yeah, we'll see what we can work out on that. Glad to have you out there, though. Thanks for checking in. Next, I have AD6PL Harold from Riverside.
Good evening, AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. And let's see here. Next, I have, I'll move on down here. Let's see, I got W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6JLM, and Kenneth W6KMM is right here. And just for information from the Green Valley Lake Station, we are on our handheld, and we're reading you from Sugarloaf South loud and clear. This is W6JLM.
Good deal there, Judith, and thanks for that report. Appreciate that. So, yeah, Ron, you're solid here, but I know you're getting that static coming in down there. It's another transmitter or something. I know it's not too far from you. So, anyway, next I have KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. Next I have K2BBL Allen in Moonridge. And nothing out there from Allen this evening. So how about K6YNW, Chris? Yeah, nothing out there from Chris. How about W6POO Chip? And nothing out there from Chip. Where'd everybody go? Okay, how about KD6LAN Bill?
Yeah, good evening, KD6LAN. We'll be monitoring from under the you-know-what.
Always fun. You're still working on that thing. You got to get done with that, Bill. All right, next I have, let's see if Ron, WA6HF's out there. Yeah, I haven't heard there from Ron. How about WA6DLB Donna? Nothing from Donna. How about NQ7RD? Let's see if Rick's out there. I seem to have a thin sheet this evening. How about AE6CK Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Renette. Victor Santa Fe 6.
And good evening there, Victor. Glad to have you out there from Santa Fe Springs. I'm not sure if we're going to reach him. How about KA6ROD Rod? I think he's out of the area. And let's see. How about W6JET Rob? And I'm out there from Rob. How about KJ6RAY Ray? All right, well, that's pretty much it for the list, and kind of thin this evening, but that's okay. Anyway, anybody out there would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF62.
Sorry I'm late, K9AOG.
Oh, got you in there, Stephen. Thanks for being in there. Anybody else?
WA6, Mike Queen Fox, Downey.
Hey, Bob. How you doing out there, WA6MQF? Glad to have you out there from Downey. Anybody else?
KJ6QIN, Shelley Bobo in Apple Valley.
Well, good evening there, Shelley. Glad to have you back out there, and we have missed you. Glad to hear you on the radio, and hopefully everything is doing a lot better for you out there. Anybody else? I think we got just about everybody there who checked in, and by golly, if you're out there listening and you have a comment, question, or suggestion, feel free to jump in there when we have the question time period or whatever, or whenever, doesn't matter. Anyway, well, Mike, We got three different things here, and I think you and myself and Jim have looked at all three of these, but they're all good articles. We're pulling these out of May issue, and a lot of good stuff here again. Of course, we never get all the stuff out of there. I think I think Jim had a pretty neat article here, and we talked about linear amps. A while back, they had a 1 kilowatt amp. This is a little bit simpler, probably a little bit cheaper to make, and this is a 2-meter, 80-watt, all-mode amplifier. And all-mode, well, you know what? First, Mike, what does that mean, all-mode?
Tom, that means exactly what it says. CW, sideband, FM, digital, and whatever else you could throw at it, I would imagine. Back to you, Tom.
And that's pretty much it. So at least we don't have to worry about that. It's kind of like what we call this, a brick. Basically, power in, power out, and more power out than the power in. And I guess they say here in the article that like the ASU-817 or the Elocraft 2-meter transverters, both good little radios, but only put out, about 5 watts, and which is good for QRP. But what if you need that extra boost? Mike, would you want to have this on the back end of that one of yours?
If I had one of these, I don't think I'd be using the 2900 here to talk to you guys. I'd be using the K3, a little bit better audio, and the trouble is that thing is only 4, 5, 6, 7 watts, depending on what you do. I think I certainly would, Tom. Back to you.
We're good to go. And essentially, what we have here, it's based on a Toshiba amp module. This really makes things a lot easier. If anybody's out there and they have the article, it starts on page 30. Schematics on page 32. And basically, there's an input forming circuit, basically with an attenuator. But you want to make sure that you don't feed this amp too much power. So there's, you know, a very, very minute amount of circuitry there. The output is basically to clean up the signal going out so you don't get a lot of splatter. With all that said and done, most of the rest of it's simply sensing when to switch on and when to switch off. So it automatically switches this in. And, of course, then when it's not being used, of course, your receive is going to be coming through. It uses a relay. Pretty cool. So, with all that said, that's about it. And Mike, I don't think that could be any simpler. And I see here, I'm going to hand this over to Jim for a bit. Jim, I see it's all on a printed circuit board, and somewhere in the article here, they said this PC board, of course, they have the pattern. All of the patterns for this stuff are on the ARRL site. But this also, I guess somebody else actually will make this board, so it's available. Anything else to add to that, Jim? KO6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Well, Tom, that's one of the things that drew my interest to it. It's been mentioned before in some recent Tech Tuesdays. Every project in this catalog is presented on a website, and this one's on Mouser.com. However, I'm on that link that's listed on page 32, trying to put in the project ID code, and it's not registering yet. I don't know if it's because we get the magazine so early or not. I wanted to get a price for it. They have a list of the common parts, resistors, capacitors, diodes, ferrite beads, and chokes, and the circuit board. I wanted to get that price, and then you have to go to another website, RF Parts, to get the actual Toshiba chip, and the page just came up, and I'm getting everything but that part number right now, and so far the prices aren't that high. They're $125, but I'll see if I can hone that search by the time you get back to me.
Yeah, and you know, actually, with that said, I think here I did nail this down here. The PC board is available from the author, and the author is James Klitzing, call sign W6PQL. Pretty neat article. Pretty neat in itself is that very descriptive. What's going on here? Schematic, of course, pretty basic there too. And a lot of small parts, but those are the cheap ones. And with all that said, I have no idea what they would add up to, but essentially you've got, basically you've got that cheap Toshiba chip, and not a lot more. It's going to be high dollar. So the cool part is, too, with a little bit of if you're in the design mode out there, they have those. I've been on RF parts, and this is a good Toshiba chip there. There's others that are a little bit lower in power, a little bit higher in power, so you could probably do a little bit of customizing on this with, you know, design considerations. You got to be able to do any calcs in there and actually come up with something maybe with a little more power or a little less and might be more economical. So anyway, Mike, I think that's one thing that's pretty cool. What's the biggest advantage of basically using another smaller radio, like you said? This is KF6Q and the group.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to read between the lines on that when you dropped out near the end of that. It's like if you've got a handy talkie and you want to get, well, you wouldn't get 100 watts. Let's see, what would we get? Yeah, a 5-watt handy talkie, you're going to get around 65, 66 watts out of it. Pretty good for getting, even if you needed simplex on 5.2 or something, it gets you out there a lot better than the 5 watts on your HT. And really cool that they're using that SAV36 module. That is the amplifier, like you said, so we eliminate so many parts and so much point-to-point wiring and such just by using that module. Very cool. Back to you, Tom. Hope that answered the question.
Oh, roger that. And Mike, I think you yourself there, they, as we all know, some of the Yaesus that are, you know, the 50, 60, 70 watts mobiles, like the 2900, 1800, and so on, there's a whole bunch of them. They're good radios, but when you kind of push them out there to the upper limits, they get hot really fast, and they have been known to actually get too hot. So anyway, some of the newer ones, of course, have cooling fans on them, but the older models did not. So, Mike, I would say, like, with your 2900, you could actually crank the power down so it's operating in the safe zone and let this amp do all the heavy lifting. And I think that's probably what the author intended here. So, anyway, but, you know, like you said, too, and you said your Elecraft has, what, a lot better audio. And how would that help here?
Well, the better audio is better communications and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that would do it. And, yeah, the 2900 does get very hot. I'm running it at 30 watts now, but when you run the thing at 75 watts, you put a little plate on it, you fry your eggs while you're talking. Hi. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, roger that. And I'm going to send this over to Jim for a second there. And, Jim, like I said, now you're basically running a 5-watt base station there, V-ger as we call it, very, very clever way you have that rigged. So, Jim, is this going to be the next addition to V-ger that give V-ger a boost in the for your base signal? I know you're running 5 watts and you do well into that J-pole, but boy, think what you would do with this. Jim, what are your thoughts there?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking, time allowing, obviously. This kit doesn't seem to be that detailed or entailed in building. Yeah, that would help. There's been a few times up here where I've wanted to go to simplex, and I just can't quite make it. There may be some issues. We haven't checked the antenna out in the last year and a half or so, and there's some things that may need to be cleaned up and reseated and sealed again. But I have gone out to the car and hit 15 watts, and suddenly everybody says, I'm pegging the meter for the local run up here in Big Bear Mountain, where on the HT up on the roof of the J-pole at 2 or 5 watts, I am just not getting there. So, Yeah, this looks like it might be the ticket to take this HT to the next level. And I did look at the W6PQL's website, and he does sell the blank board there for $1,750. And it says the board populated with only the components shown. There's some things missing. $90, and I think he's pre-assembled it, so I'm not sure what the deal is there. And I did find another website called utsource.net that has that chip. They want $60 for it. I think it can be found cheaper, but I haven't found it yet.
And KO6Q Tech Tuesday and the group here. Well, you know, that's one thing too, of course, with all these parts, and I once again, I'm going to mention this, that we have major suppliers out there like Melder, DigiKey, Newark, Allied, or there are probably the four of the biggest that have just about everything under the sun, and there is a lot of price differential between them on different parts. So it's some will have better prices on certain things, and others will have different areas. Kind of like going to the grocery store. You may get a good deal on the pork roast at Stater Brothers, but you're going to find a better deal over there of the rib roast over there at Vaughn's. So, but you're never going to get the best price of everything in one spot. You know, it's just the way things are. So, anyway, with all that said, always shop around for your parts if you want. And, of course, like I say, if the author is offering this up as a kit, that's not a bad deal. I know it is what you say there, close to $100, probably a little bit more, but hey, there's a lot of stuff out there I see on this parts list that many of us have in a junk box and kicking around, and you know, we could probably cut a lot of that back. So anyway, well, Mike, I'm going to send this back over to you for a second. With the QRP and all that good stuff that you do, most of your QRP rigs are 10 watts or less, correct?
USL, the H17 is about 5, sometimes I can squeeze 6 out of it, and the little KX3, if I have a 13.5 volt power supply, I can squeeze 12 watts out of it. So yeah, we're really running QRO when we're running 12 watts. Of course, then we have the 100 watt HF rigs that kind of take care of the light work, but that's about as much power as we run over here, Tom. Hey, back to you.
Yeah, and roger that. So I would say I'm not sure how well this little unit would backpack as an emergency booster. Say if you ever got out in one of those areas, whether you would be off-roading or hiking or whatever, and your 5 watts just wasn't quite hitting it, or the 10 watts, all the same way. And if this would kick in there just for maybe, you know, a few minutes, might make that extra connection that could get help on the way. Or just out there for grins to see how things are going and see what kind of range you got. So either way, amps like this are really handy. I think this is a really good deal here. If you're a builder, I'm sure this would be very easy to build. And if you're an operator, it would be a good, cool thing to have in your backpack or on the shelf there in your ham shack. So anyway, any questions or comments about this before we move on? Come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
JET.
Well, there's Rob. How you doing? Yes, sir.
Yeah, like Chick in there, W6JET, been listening in. Don't forget, when you're talking about your backpack, you still got to have the power to run the amplifier, the extra big battery, because it does take a little bit of extra current there to run those. But I have one that's it's a commercially built one, but it's a dual band. So you can use either 2 meters or 440 on it, which is a kind of handy deal for an HT if you want to use two bands, and it automatically shifts.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And who makes that? Is it a Mirage or is it somebody else?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it's a Mirage, and it's 35 on 440 and I think 45 or 50 on 2 meters.
Comment. Yes, go ahead, comment.
Well, this is Bob, WA6MQF. I just punched that Toshiba amplifier IC into eBay, and there's listings there as low as $54. Over. And there you go. And I got to tell you out there, there's a lot of electronic parts, even hard to get parts, that are available out there on eBay. And glad you brought that up, Bob, because, you know, we have our major suppliers, and sometimes that's going to be very difficult to get those, or maybe it's not a brand they carry. Their Toshiba parts might not be carried by Newark, but they are by Mauser. You know, you never know. So there's like a, and I'm not quoting that as a fact, that's just as a possible example. So always give eBay a shot, and you'll find it out there, maybe a few dollars cheaper. Maybe you'll just find it there easier, and easier to get. Bob, did that include shipping, or was shipping on top of that?
Let's see. It doesn't say, and it's not a bid. It's a buy it now, $54, and probably take you about 10 days to get because they're coming from China. Over.
And that is because Toshiba, of course, being overseas. But I know that a lot of electronics, of course, a lot of those parts, a couple weeks, sometimes even as little as 5 days, depending. And, that stuff will, you know, and a lot of them do have free shipping, believe it or not. And you'll get that stuff over here pretty quick. I've been pretty successful in buying stuff from overseas, so pretty safe. And especially if you can go on eBay, generally you're going to find, on the Buy It Now, you'll find kind of a rating of the store. Mike, you've bought and sold on eBay. What does that rating mean? I mean, if a guy's got like 2,952 gold stars, I'm going to say that's probably good, but give us just a real quick rundown of how that works.
And what you want to look at is their feedback rating, and, you know, they can have thousands and thousands and thousands, and if they have 100% feedback rating, that means that they have taken care of any issues come up, taken care of any problems, and no one has given them negative feedback. And it has various times you can look at, too, 6 months, 90 days, and such, so kind of take it out as far as you can, and, you know, and see. And you can see if there's a trend, too, if they have a negative feedback way back when and not one for many, many years or for quite a while, then they've gotten their act together and done pretty well. But the feedback rating is really one you want to look at and maybe kind of read a few and see what they say. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal, because that actually is something that will make a lot of us out there feel a lot safer of what we're doing, what we're buying. And whether we're really, are we risking something or not? And you know, well, we want to feel safe getting that stuff. We still want to build the projects, and sometimes it's going to be the only place we can get them. So, but anyway, all in all, pretty good project, and glad when they bring this up to our attention. And like I said, the stuff is getting simpler as electronics get better. There are so many of these amplifiers in one package. That, I mean, this is for 2 meters. There's a lot of them that go way up, microwave area. And it's just, got to be careful, of course, wire everything proper, like always. But drop this stuff in, make sure that the heat sink is hooked up. Jim, I see that on the front page, and we see the board. But, you know, that's very important. Just explain that to everybody out there, the importance of having that big chip heat sunk, otherwise they're being heat crispy, one of the two. Back to you, Jim.
Comment?
Yes, go ahead there. Bob, I believe.
I looked up the actual listing, and this guy here has 22,000 transactions on eBay, 99.6% positive feedback, and the shipping, economy shipping from China was $4. Fill out one of my comments before. Okay, back to you.
And KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can.
Well, good deal there, Bob. Thanks for getting in that, the other information there. And I know that's pretty close. Jim, I think you had quoted another price in there, which is right around that range of $60. But Jim, back to the question I'm shooting over there to you. Looking at this, and I've seen some Yaesus built this way. One whole side of the radio, or top or bottom, is one continuous heatsink. Kind of explain real brief to those who don't know what a heatsink is and what it does and why we need it. Back to you, Jim. KF6Q.
Well, Tom, basically it's usually metal. Can be other materials that are conductive to heat. It's basically designed to create a large amount of surface area so that there's a lot of space for heat to be transferred. Anybody who's looking at that picture, that chip looks about a little bit less than a half an inch tall, maybe an eighth inch deep, and a little bit over an inch and a quarter, maybe inch and a half long. And when we're talking about we're bumping up to 80 watts, anybody who has accidentally touched a 75 watt incandescent light bulb has felt the pain, especially if it's been on for a while, with the burning of their fingers. That much power gets very, very warm very quickly. And the silicon inside that's generating that large waveform into a 50-ohm load antenna to create that 80 watts is going to generate a lot of heat from power. And that chip won't last very long if it stays in that one little area where that silica is, so it has to be dissipated out over a large area to quickly pull the heat out of the chip and get it into the air. So those, anybody looking at a picture, those fins, anybody seen them, those fins are to create surface area on both sides, so that shape, what is it, about 5 or 6 inches wide and deep, that's probably, 36 square inches, that heat sink is probably doing a minimum of 4 times that surface area to get the heat off of that chip as fast as possible.
Tom Bend. Yes, Bob, go ahead.
Being an RF fix-it guy for a zillion years, I have a few comments and a bit a practical hint for people building stuff. Okay, if this is an 80-watt amplifier, and it's 60% efficient at 80 watts output, then that 40% that doesn't get to the output is what ends up as heat sink. And the white silicone that you use for heat sink compound helps conduct the heat into the heat sink material. However, the thinner it is, the better it works. And having done a lot of field repairs on high power equipment, I found that using a brand new single-edged razor blade and scraping across the heat sink compound to get a nice even film, not a big wad, but a nice even film, and then fastening the device down first into the screws that hold it to the... Back to you, Tom.
Okay, well, good deal there, Bob. Yeah, and I think that, like you're saying, efficiency, if the device was 100% efficient, we wouldn't need that because it wouldn't generate any heat. It'd be perfect, but we don't live in that perfect world. So with that said, yeah, now one thing, Bob, and I don't know if you've ever tried this. I have, and it has worked pretty well. You can buy this silicone grease in a little tube, very small tube, usually through an electronic supply. There is also a large, very, very large tube of grease that's used for automotive brakes, and it's silicone grease. And it looks the same, so I thought, well, let's see, if I destroy this part, it's not going to be the end of the world. So I actually used some of that, and believe it or not, it worked fine. Now, Bob, have you ever heard of anybody doing that? Or am I the only guy who's stuck his neck out and done that? Because I'll tell you what, it's way cheaper if you buy it from an automotive store. Back to you, Bob, real quick.
Yeah, I actually know what you're talking about. And the answer is no, but I'll explain it. I bought a tube. I use the stuff dries up if you lose the cap and stuff. Anyway, an average size toothpaste tube cost me $25. So that's your high end. And I've always the devices I've worked with are so expensive. I never, you know, and the company's paying for it. So I just pay up front and know that I've done my best shot and not taken any chances. But, Tom, I haven't tried that. It may well be the same darn stuff. Over.
Yeah, you know, and the reason I even bring this up is here's a very good example. I think we've all seen super glue out there, and there's super glue and super duper glue. But whatever it is, it comes in a very small container and may not, you know, cost an arm and a leg, but it's pretty pricey for what you're getting. But if you then go to a hobby store, you know, it's really the hot ticket for putting wood airplanes, models and stuff like that together, and other things too. But you'll find that it's available there. However, the price per ounce has changed now, because now it's something that you're going to buy in a 4-ounce little bottle or even bigger, and flashing agents and all kinds of cool stuff. So cyanoacrylate, I believe it's called, that's the chemical term, same thing. And guess what? Since it's no longer that tiny little flashy super glue little thing with the styrofoam, I mean the plastic, and it's hanging there in the local convenience store, it's now cheaper. So doesn't mean it doesn't work any different. So anyway, did a little research on the silicone grease. They're really close to the same thing, and I think they would probably work the same consistency too, as far as spreading it out, about the same, I don't know what you'd call it, viscosity. Seemed to work pretty good. It has worked for me, so, but I just caution anybody out there who tries that, please do so at your own risk. So anyway, back to you, Bob, real quick.
Right. Well, Harris, who makes their VHF amplifiers, their 1-kilowatt drawers, and they have eight FETs in them, and, you know, the devices are $250 a pop, and so they supply in a maintenance kit the real thing. But again, it's like you said, it's a small tube, and you pay top dollar for the small quantities. But what I was saying, make it an even and reasonably thin layer. And first of all, of course, wash the surface with alcohol. Make sure there aren't any solder splashes or anything like that on it. And then don't solder the leads until after you've tightened the device down, because you don't want the leads pushing up on the device when you're trying to tighten it down with the screws that fasten it to the sink. That's it, Tom. Back to you.
Well, good deal there, Bob. Yeah, good information there. Of course, building stuff. And Bob, you're a builder, and I'm a builder. And hey, we could call you Bob the Builder, but then we'd probably be infringing on some copyright laws. But anyway, we could always call you that. Pretty neat. Jim, did you want to add anything on to that? Sounds like that's a pretty good article here, and I appreciate you for picking that out. And I'll give you the first shot at anything else to talk about this in closing. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, KJ6KDL here with Tech Tuesday Group. It's what I've been looking at is the retail pre-built ones, the ones you buy, like the Mirage, which is an HRO, and a couple of others, to get in that 50 to 75 watt range, usually running $120 to $150. So it's close. If you like to do it, be a project builder, then that's the this would be an item to do. And I wasn't familiar with that large Toshiba chip before. That chip's rated 134 to 174 megahertz. So does have a little variability, so if you were interested and did some probing around, needed a different frequency range, you probably could, with a little math, tailor this project to do a different band. So Very good. A lot of good input, and I'm glad Bob was in here to give his input because he's out there in the field doing this real time. And I'm back in the computer world, so I'm going by old memory. So it's good to have a lot of fill-in and a lot of good input from everyone.
Well, good deal there, Jim. Yeah, and like I said, if you're a project builder, you know, obviously you're going to have the biggest expense probably is going to be that chip, which you do have to buy. A lot of these others are actually very easy to come by. Those two transistors that are in there, Darlington configuration, believe it or not, a lot of substitutes out there. And that's the good thing, too. If you're going to do any building projects like this, and you say, well, you know what, this is an MMBT6427, and that's a mouthful, and that's, you're like, well, by golly, I don't have one of those, but let's see what I do have. And you'll find that substitutes are out there, and it could be something real simple, and you've got maybe 100 of them, so, or more, depending whether you collect stuff like I do or not. You may have thousands, who knows? But anyway, with that said, one of the Zener diodes is 5.1 volt Zener diode in here. Almost all electronics equipment has tons of those inside, so if you ever get a hold of something to salvage, next thing you know, you're only buying a couple of parts. So, yeah, that's the big gain if you've got stuff on hand. And if not, hey, you can always order that stuff up. Anyway, Mike, I'm going to send it back to you for closing and last comments here. Go ahead, Mike. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Very good coverage on this amplifier. I mean, also what Jim said. Yeah, Bob. Thanks for coming in here. You're out in the field. You do this, and it's always good to have the practical guy in there to give us some tips and to keep us up to date on stuff. So between the QSTs and going through these articles and the manpower we have out there, like Bob and others out there, it really makes Tech Tuesday work here. So back to you, Tom, and thanks for everybody that has input.
Well, good deal there, Mike. Yeah, well, I appreciate all the comments this evening, as always, and always a pleasure when you can join in as you're a professional radio engineer. Hi, even if you are semi-retired. So, but that's okay, and a lot of other people out there listening also, a lot of good background in electronics, so always love to hear from everybody out there. Yeah, you know, like I said, with this here, probably the heat sink also might be a little bit of an expense item because of what it is and the cost of aluminum. And aluminum is usually the preferred material. But you never know. You can always find stuff out there, usually off of scrap equipment. Always a good thing out there. Or maybe somebody's got an old 2900 Yaesu or one of those that has that in the box. And it's just broken beyond repair, because there is a good source. Go on eBay, you'll find radios out there available for parts only. Generally means that they are not worth repairing because there's too much damage. However, you will get a project box. You'll get all kinds of neat stuff. The power connectors in the back, and pretty much get that puppy. And I know that pretty much wraps up our deal on this linear amp. Bob, I'm going to send it back to you on just changing topics here a little bit. We got that topic wrapped up. Have you ever been able to do that? I think you have built a few projects and actually from scrapped out no good stuff and then actually used the container more than anything else. Real quick and brief there, Bob. Please give us a little lowdown there. Go ahead.
I know why you said that. I'm laughing here. For anybody that's come over and visited my place, you just about have to crawl over my piles of junked out items. I call it spare parts on the hoof. And yes, many times I've pulled stuff out of this to make that, and probably better than half of my component inventory is reclaimed parts off projects and PC boards. If you ever get down to San Diego, there's a good surplus store down there, and you can find a heat sink that'll probably fit the packaging you're thinking of. Murphy's Surplus in San Diego is an excellent source, but, you know, it's a 100-mile drive And so you got to be have another reason. Go down there to Old San Diego and have a meal and just happen to stop by Murphy's. Also, I noticed HRO down in San Diego once a year has their annual flea market in their parking lot. I don't know the date for it this year, but I bought a number of things. I'm a sucker for old secondhand stuff, especially if it's broken. If it's broken, the price is low, and I love, and that's what I do professionally, is fix stuff. And so, and thank you for the opportunity. This happened to be a subject that I particularly was involved in, and I'm really looking at that 1 kW 2-meter amp that was in QSD 5 or 6 months ago or something. They use, against the heat sink, they use a quarter-inch piece of machined copper first to spread the heat, and then they have that bonded to the aluminum heat sink. And so that's how they deal with it. And they have a one-chip device that's good for a kilowatt output on 2 meters. It costs roughly $300 from China. Anyway, those are my comments for tonight, Tom. And great net, of course, I love this topic. KF6Q, WA6MQF.
Comment.
Yes, Bob, thanks a whole bunch for that. Appreciate you could join us, and we can always delve in that direction. And yes, Harold, comment, go ahead.
People out here in the Inland Empire, I haven't been in there for a couple of years now, but used to every time I went in warehouse 2, electronic warehouse 2, that is, they had one and sometimes two large boxes of heat sinks because they salvage stuff in there. They disassemble damaged stuff. They disassemble broken, just old stuff, antique junk or whatever, and they save all that stuff, put it in boxes, and sell it really cheap. So they have all different sizes. You can probably cut your own size if you need to. 86 PL.
Yeah, very good point there, Harold. I've been in there, and yeah, they do. They're constantly in the back room tearing stuff out, and they shrink wrap it. If it's parts that work, they test it, and other stuff they have out there. Unfortunately, they don't, not as much as they used to. They used to have a lot in there. They still do have quite a bit, but another would be Max over there in Inland Empire, and I think he's still open. There's a few places around, and, there's, unfortunately, if you went to a REM yard, materials as far as metal, you'll probably get plate stock pretty cheap, but you really do need those fins, and that's we want to make that clear. The fins and all those multiple fins really add to the effective surface area. If it's not there, you won't get the heat flow. It's all about the heat flow and getting it off of there. And of course, if you're really an experimental person and you want to really get out there on the edge, you can get into the peltier chips. I'll get that. I'll say it right one of these days. Where they actually, of course, that's just a whole other subject in itself, so for bringing heat out of something. But anyway, well, good deal. Glad everybody could join us. I think we've really pretty much caught the most of this article here. Before we close Tech Tuesday, any other comments or questions, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, this is just for trivia. If anybody's interested to see what the inside of that Toshiba amplifier module looks like, or most probably looks like, on rfparts.com, if you search for the S-AV number 6, not 36, it's a little bit higher frequency range, but on that particular chip, they've taken the cover off, and you can see the tracework inside, and I always find it interesting because at those frequencies, trace length is important, and sometimes it can be too short. And so if you go and search for that SAV6, our part shows that a lot of these traces are zigzagged a little bit to get that length back to tune those traces just so the whole amplifier module works at frequency. And it's just something that I always find interesting because it's RF.
Anyway, if anybody interested, good luck. KJ6KDL.
Yeah, Jim, I got that email. Thanks for sending that over to me. And interesting thing is, of course, the, like I say, the frequency range on this particular one, a little bit higher up there, and because it's pretty much tuned for a specific area. A little bit different power output, but yeah, it's amazing what's put inside there. And years ago, that would all be on the circuit board and many devices, so putting this all in one package really makes a lot of our do-it-yourself stuff so much simpler and kind of foolproof. Just got to make sure we play by the rules, make sure you get that puppy heat sunk good, putting on that. And a very good point there, Bob. A lot of people think, well, a little silicone grease is good, a lot will be better. Well, that's not the case. You want to just get enough in there, fill the air gaps, any inconsistencies between the chip or the transistor and the heat sink. Just, that's the main thing. Fill those air pockets, make sure there's nothing there. And generally, you'll have great success. So, anyway, once again, anybody else with comments or questions, please come back. All right, well, I think we've got a pretty neat little thing there, and they're always coming out with stuff like this. Always love to see things available and put to use like this, and with parts that we can actually get a hold of. That's the key point. Some of these, I've seen projects where, my gosh, you'd never be able to get the parts if no matter how hard you look. So this is a good thing, and we love to see this stuff in QST. QST Magazine always has got great build-it articles. We don't normally cover that, but this was just too good to pass up. So, anyway, glad to have everybody join in this evening. Appreciate that. All comments, questions from everybody out there, and hopefully we'll see you all here again next Tuesday. So, it'll be QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours, 51 minutes. Once again, thanking everybody for their participation, and hopefully we'll see you again next week. And returning the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.